If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Jeff Stotland. Jeff is Executive Vice President of Global Studios for Hudson Pacific. Hudson Pacific is a real estate investment trust that is very focused on the content business. Hudson Pacific owns three very busy studio lots in Hollywood, Sunset Gower, Sunset Las Palmas, and Sunset Bronson. They're building another studio north of Burbank, and they also just bought Quixote Studios, another provider of sound stages and services. The company has a partnership with private equity giant Blackstone and has more building plans all around the world, including in the UK. Jeff is a former Disney strategy executive who worked in the parks, experiences, and products division, helping manage the studio's real estate, among other properties. He joined Hudson Pacific last year. Here, Jeff talks me through all the questions I have about the business of renting sound stages and production space. I found it enlightening and interesting, and I hope you will too. That's all coming up after the break.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And we're back with Hudson Pacific's Jeff Stotland.
Jeff, thank you so much for inviting me here to the beautiful Sunset Las Palmas lot in the heart of Hollywood.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, the impetus for me reaching out to you to talk to you about the business of managing studio space, creative space, soundstage space, was that Hudson Pacific has bought Quixote Studios, which is a big, big studio soundstage operator in Los Angeles. And having started that conversation, I've learned so much more about Hudson Pacific and how you have very strategically acquired a lot of soundstage space, creative production office space, so much so that pretty much anybody shooting a major project in town is doing business with Hudson Pacific. So Jeff, why don't you start by kind of setting the table for us in terms of Hudson Pacific and its studio and soundstage business, which I know is also not just in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So we have in LA, we have Sunset Studios, which is three different studios right now. There's Sunset Gower, Sunset Las Palmas, and Sunset Bronson. The Netflix headquarters, which is a building that we built, is also on Sunset Bronson.
Right in that nexus of these great lots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And they're all very close to each other.
Right.
There's about 35 stages, about 1 million square feet of office. It's unique in the sense that on Sunset Bronson and Gower, there are corporate offices there. So you'll see, in addition to sound stages and the traditional studio lot, there's also, you know, big sort of commercial class A office spaces, which is pretty unique. You don't see that on all lots. So we've owned those assets for roughly 10 years, acquired them, you know, along the way. So not all 10 years ago, but sort of over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then I joined about 18 months ago. And then in that last 18 months, we've added some other companies, including Quixote, and they have another 26 stages. And then in addition to that, we're building a studio called Sunset Glen Oaks, which is in Sun Valley. It's about 15 minutes north of Burbank. So that'll take the Sunset portfolio to 42 stages with associated like office space and production support, and mills, and you know, all the sorts of associated space you would need on a studio lot. And then we also own, you know, formerly the Star Wagons business, which is all the trailers that you'd see on lots, all the cast trailers and makeup and wardrobe, a company called Zio, which also is a similar type of a business. And that's called Zio Studio Services. And then recently we just bought Quixote, which has a collection of different businesses, really, one of which is stages.
And then they also have a lot of services as well.
Yeah. So that's sort of the what we have in LA. On the production services side, we also have a business in Albuquerque, in New Orleans, in New York, and in Atlanta. So in sort of some other markets in LA as well.
And all real production hubs.
Yeah.
Lots
exactly.
going on.
I mean,
there.
We're really and we're really focused on major production hubs, which I would say from a tier one perspective, you know, LA certainly is the home, and that I think we have really strong conviction of not only being strong today, but strong for, you know, the next 100 years with the infrastructure, talent, both on screen and, you know, behind the camera. It's really just hard to build that in any market. But, you know, LA, London's a market where we're building a giant studio. We can come back to that, I guess, but we're building a giant studio there. New York, Vancouver's another big market.
Sure.
Atlanta's another big market. We really stick to those. And then places like Albuquerque, New Orleans, you know, Toronto, those are really interesting markets for us that, you know, we can talk about our strategy for thinking about those markets, but really for purpose-built studio lots. We really are focusing on those kind of those tier one markets of LA, London, you know, New York, Vancouver, Toronto, Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that with so much demand and everybody always searching for a stage, you've got a waiting list a mile long. For how do you manage the demand?
Well, so it's interesting. There's two basic types of models, and we have both on our existing lots. One is these long-term leases. So what we've seen, like, and this is really a recent development over the last, say, 4 years, where the studios, like a Netflix, for example, for instance, they would come in and do long-term leases where they would take multiple stages over a long-term period of time, 5 years, 10 years, you know, whatever it is. And the other model is really show by show. And that's the traditional model, which is you and I want to go produce a show, and we need stages and it gets greenlit. And so you go do all the stuff. You get the stages, you get the services, and that's it. That's show by show. And if our show gets picked up, we renew that lease, hopefully, if those stages are available, and you kind of go from there. It's a more transient model. Mm-hmm. But that's the way the industry generally works.
Right.
The recent phenomenon over the last, like, kind of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years maybe, studios started to get worried about, you know, with the proliferation of content, that we're going to get boxed out of getting access to stages.
Right.
So, you know, with a pile of cash, they said, listen, let's lock that up of the supply of stages. We're not, you know, without that key ingredient to go make the content. And so that's what you saw. So on our lots, we have a mix of long-term leases and then also show by show. So if you're in a long-term lease model, managing demand isn't, you know, when you go back to it, mm-hmm. it isn't really an issue because you already have that client locked up for a period of time. But for most of the industry, that's not the case. For most studio lots, it's show by show. And so for that, you are managing demand. And that's a pretty interesting one, because in the ideal world, if you had perfect visibility into how all that demand was going to materialize,
right,
you'd be able to say, oh, well, show A comes to me and says, hey, we really need stages. And, you know, here are the lease rates for those stages, and here are the services that, you know, that they'll need as well. And you say, oh, well, that's one option. And then there's a whole nother series of people that need the same stages, maybe. Mm-hmm. And let's compare and contrast, and let's sort of go with the best or highest bidder. But like in reality, it never really works out like that. In reality, somebody comes to, you know, lease your stages. There's, first of all, you want to help them, and you want to maintain a long-term relationship. So you never really want to say no to anybody.
Right.
Which means the bird in the hand is always better. Generally, what kind of happens. So theoretically, you can manage demand, but like in reality, you just don't want those stages to go empty. And no matter who runs the business of studios, you don't want stages to go empty. So you're always inclined to take, you know, whoever sort of comes in first. And you also want to maintain that good relationship with them, because the next time when they have to produce something, you want them to call. And if you have this reputation of saying no, then they're just going to stop calling.
Right.
So, yeah.
Do you ever get into a situation, because I know now, especially, it is so competitive and so hard to, it's a literal land rush that people, even before they have 100%, 150% of their green light, they're looking for stages. Yeah. Does that become an issue? Do people try to reserve things that they don't, then can't actually, you know, aren't going to actually need?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. There is that concept of reserving stages. Different studio lots have different policies. Some studio lots will hold for a deposit,
yeah,
and others won't. Most don't. Mm-hmm. But it happens all the time where people are calling around, and you, as an owner and operator of studios, are also assessing the likelihood that person's actually going to book, right? Okay. And do you honor that hold? Well, it depends on your relationship. So these aren't like commoditized types of transaction where it's like, you know, going in and buying milk at a grocery store,
right,
where it's the same thing every time.
Right. Stage A, stage B, stage C,
yeah,
right.
Even we were talking about this earlier, even sort of the physical layout of stages are all different. What people's needs are different,
right,
their ability to make a decision and the timing is a little bit different. So I think that you kind of manage demand based on you know, assessing the likelihood that somebody actually needs the stage now and they're willing to do it. And if they can't, then you probably go to the next person who needs it. And in this market, usually there are other people. But that won't always be the case. So you always have this incentive to really try to help somebody out because mm-hmm. you want them to come back.
Mm-hmm. And talking about your business models, I can see from a business perspective, you probably like having a few long-term people, but you like a restaurateur, you can turn the tables.
Yeah.
And so you can turn your tables over and bring in new people. And, you know, would you say, not asking you dollars and cents, but would you say that your rates, do they vary depending on the client needs, or is it kind of a, do you have like a, here's a tier one, here's a tier two, and do they stay steady, or do they go up and down depending on the demand curve?
We don't change rates by client. Like and by the way, having a market rates are tough to come by because it's such an opaque industry. Like the industry is not, the information is not transparent. It's mm-hmm. not readily available. Mm-hmm. So, and things are bundled. So it's hard to even know what other studios are charging because it's bundled between stages and services.
Right.
So market is a elusive concept, market rates for stages. That said, we don't really charge different rates depending on the client. And you do kind of want both. Like having long-term is great because if the demand dissipates, right, and you're heading into a market where there's not as many people, having that certainty of somebody paying you
right.
to cover fixed costs is super helpful. In a market where it's up and to the right, where there's a lot of demand and it exceeds supply, you don't want to be locked into long-term leases because you want a quote-unquote mark-to-market, which means
right.
if, you know, 6 months from now, if rates are rising because demand far
right.
outstrips supply, you want to be able to charge that. But if you have a long-term lease, you can't do that. You can't quote-unquote mark-to-market. So you'll just have different scenarios and different investors, different owners of lots, depending on who they are, have a different perspective on that exact dynamic. If you're generally a real estate owner, they like to lock in long-term rates, and they're maybe more willing to sacrifice upside in the interest of de-risking. But there's a lot of upside economically in a market that's frothy to go mark to market, so you're giving up a lot. And it's really just managing risk at that point. And you know, I like us to have both. And the reality is the way the industry works is most of the business is show by show. So even if you and I sat here and said, hey, we want a completely long-term business,
right.
the only way you'd really do it is to discount it so heavily to get that person in there that it just wouldn't be economically viable. So the reality is as you scale this business, you have more stages, more studios in different markets, most of the business will be show by show, some of it long-term. But you know, long-term leases are tough because you're asking a studio to make a long-term financial commitment. And they don't necessarily want to lock into these because they're not sure what their needs are going to be.
Right, and they don't know what the who's going to be on or off their own lots. And I remember
exactly.
early on thinking, well, every Warner Brothers show would have to be shot at Warner Brothers. It's one of those funny things. Let me ask you a totally wonky question. But do you when you are doing a deal with somebody who's going to take a stage, is it done by square foot? Is it done by the amount of time that they'll be on the stage? I'm totally just curious.
Great question. It's not done by square foot. It's done by the total price to occupy that stage. So you might have, let's say, two stages, 20,000 square feet each, 40,000 square feet plus, you know, another 10,000-15,000 square feet of production support office, you might have some other type of office, you might have a mill space.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing will be a baked
craft
into agreement
services.
Of you'll pay X amount of dollars a month for that whole service. So it's not really teased apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of bundled into this one thing. Services, that's a whole different situation. There are different business models as to whether those are bundled or they're sort of charged as separate unbundled services, more a la carte. That model really does vary, but the investor or the real estate from a evaluation perspective after the fact does look at sort of dollars per square feet, but the clients themselves, when you structure these lease agreements, they don't look at it like that. It's just one number. And then you as somebody who's used to like leasing stages and producing stuff, you'll just know, oh, this is more than I typically am used to paying or less, but the total number is what you'll be aware of, what you'll know, and that's your basis of comparison. And that's how we do it. Mm-hmm. As investors, we also look at it as a yield per square foot, as just more of like a key performance indicator. Mm-hmm. So kind of both happen for different purposes. Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there must be people, counterparts at studios and the sizable production companies that have expertise in doing that, probably in the physical production, but in terms of taking stages and.
There's really a couple different types of people. You have physical production executives at every studio, and they're in charge with, you know, really the, you know, once the slate is sort of set at a studio to figure out what they're going to produce, that whole organization, that function goes out and figures out all the logistics around, you know, purchasing all the access to the services that they're going to need to produce that slate. And so that really is a production planning function at the various studios. It's called physical production or whatever. Now, if you're doing a long-term lease, those are typically corporate real estate executives. Mm. So they would work in partnership. And each studio, because of their various organizational structures, it might change. But generally...
It probably has changed because every studio has changed every job and everybody's title in the last 24 months.
Well, it's a great point. And so that's another challenge with getting long-term leases done. It's a much more complex sale where you're navigating 8 different, you know, functions or, you know, a lot of different people to get something like that done. Whereas when you're doing it show by show, you're not really dealing with like a bunch of different factions. It's generally a physical production person who's going to sort of do that. So it's a completely different challenge from a sales perspective to do long-term leases, not so much in just terms of appetite, but navigating that it's a skill. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever deal directly with showrunners? Do you ever see showrunners coming in and I'm sure they got to scope out, you know, what they need and what.
Yeah, showrunners, showrunners, line producers, but showrunners in general have really particular preferences a lot of time with where they want to produce. They've had, and you know, some of it is because of the logistics and the ease of which they shoot. And you know, we love to think of ourselves as, you know, our Sunset brand is important because it's a little like the hospitality industry where it ultimately stands for something. And what does it stand for? Hopefully ease of service. You come here, all your needs are met. You know, it's just, you know, it doesn't take you forever to get on the lot and to park. Like any hospitality business, there's 100 little things that we try to think about to make it easier. So some of those showrunners have a preference based on that. But some of those showrunners, in addition to that or aside from that, there's just a certain like luck factor, like, oh, the last show I made at Las Palmas did really, really well. So like, I'm definitely going back to Las Palmas. And I think you find that in a lot of businesses where it's like, hey, I occupy this office at, you know, this address on San Vicente, and like, I'm definitely starting my next business there because I just have good karma there. So I think there's both.
Whatever it takes, it's interesting. Do you ever get into, do you ever have like landlord issue where show X is promised they're going to be out of their stage because show Y is coming in a week? Do you ever have to kick anybody to the curb?
We try not to. It really doesn't happen like that. It generally, no. So the answer is generally not. And the tenants that we're dealing with, we call them clients, and on purpose. They're not tenants to us. They're really clients, and they're people that...
For all the reasons that
we just talked about. They generally are, you know, they do this for a living. They don't want to be paying their crews and, you know, for longer than they have to. And aside from the fact that generally not an issue with them getting out, they have every incentive to be super efficient with how they produce because it costs them money to, you know, every day. Aside, sort of related to that, they're all generally really good credit risk. Like you don't have like if you're leasing out office space or, you know, apartment building, you know, you can run credit checks, but generally you never really know. And there's a meaningful loss factor that you have to account for. In the studio space, knock on wood, you just don't really see that. You generally don't see that. I mean, you're dealing with a Netflix, or a Disney or a Warner Brothers, right, or an Apple or Amazon, they're generally really good credit.
Right.
It's an appealing aspect of this industry. Like, not only are they sort of aligned in their motivation to be efficient, get in, get out, but they pay, which is good from a, you know, business perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the checks, the checks clear for sure.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this pause for monetization.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As we migrated more of our business to the cloud, we were seeing expenses go up, but we couldn't pinpoint the cause. It seemed less of a cloud, more of a fog. That's why we brought on Cloud Optimizer, and they saved the day.
Are you seeing your cloud hosting bills go up and you're not sure why? It's time to put Cloud Optimizer to work for you. Cloud Optimizer analyzes usage patterns, right-sizes resources, leverages discounts you may not be aware of, implements automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service.
With Cloud Optimizer, we have our spend under control, our company is more agile, profitable, and we're getting peak performance from our cloud.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
And we're back with more on the soundstage business from Hudson Pacific's Jeff Stotland.
Let me ask you, in the big picture, how has scale benefited? How has the scale of adding more properties and now, you know, the potential for Quixote? And forgive me, that deal is done. That is a done deal. So adding Quixote, how has scale helped you?
Scale, I would say, is at the core of our strategy. And the reason is because ultimately, you know, we believe that having the assets in the right markets and the right services is really important to the studios. As those studios get bigger and their businesses become more complex and they're shooting in multiple geographies, multiple types of content.
In multiple languages.
In multiple languages.
Local language is the thing.
All of it. Yeah, exactly. And so there, you can imagine, is that, I mean, it's incredibly complicated, right? And so they're co-financing stuff, they have different partners, but what they really want is almost an easy button for some aspect of their business. And so the way, you know, we look at this, the way I really look at this is we're in the picks and shovels business. We're in the business of providing picks and shovels for the studio folks to go produce their content and mine for gold, to come up with that next amazing piece of content. And so how can we make it easier for them to do that? Whether you're filming in, you know, geographically, wherever around the world, whatever services you need, how do we make it as easy as possible so that, you know, you don't need to make 20 phone calls. You don't need to go figure out how to go, you know, put together all the picks and shovels to go produce this content. So scale is a way to do that, right? You can't make it easier unless you have those assets and you have that scale.
Right.
And so that's really a big part of the strategy and really fundamentally underscoring our acquisition of some of these companies.
And being in all those markets.
And, you know, that really is it. And listen, it's not, you know, me talking about this is not revealing some secret sauce. I think a lot of people would agree that collecting those assets in those key markets, it's kind of obvious, right? It's just super hard to pull it off.
Right.
And that's in the secret sauce of what we do, is our ability to invest in and operate real estate and operating companies. And what you'd find is that in the world, there's not a lot of people who have the ability to sort of speak and execute real estate and also speak and execute operating businesses. And that's really what this industry is. And that's really where the opportunity is, to scale this hybrid business to ultimately simplify the lives of all the people producing content. So this fundamental belief we have, and listen, there's gonna be dips and ups with content production, and we can all debate about how much is gonna get produced.
Right.
Who knows? I couldn't tell you what's gonna happen next week, let alone next year. But I will say this, we do have very strong conviction that the amount of volume is not really gonna go down ultimately over the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. The world needs more content, and we have conviction around that. Hopefully we're right. But so scaling and having these assets is a fundamental belief. And so if there is a dip 1 week or 1 month, I'm okay with that, because we're not day trading. We're building a long-term vision and a business around, you know, making stuff easier. And to do that, you know, it's just executing it's a simple strategy, but it's a difficult execution.
If you want to come in and shoot something short form for 2 days, 3 days, do you have any facility that would allow that? Is that something that you're thinking about, given that we're seeing TikTok and influencers like really create their own content and monetize it?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a low budget model. I would say it's a short form model where we do have product stages that could be leased out on a short term, like 7 days, or, you know, and you see a lot of that with commercials, what we call short form content,
where
they need it for 2-3 days. Very different operating model, by the way, much more intensive. Their needs are much more extensive. So you see a lot of studios shying away from it because, frankly, it's just hard to pull it off.
Mm.
And it's really easy to upset a customer because they come on, everything's got to be aligned. They want to produce their commercial. They want to get in, they want to get out. They're not paying less. They're just doing more in a much shorter period of time. So they got to mobilize. They got to be super efficient.
They need everything to go right.
They need everything to go right.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's another sort of angle of this business that I think partly was the attractiveness of buying Quixote. A big part of their business is in short form content.
Mm,
so they're really good at that model. And that was really attractive to us to get into that business. You could start it from scratch, or we could purchase Quixote, who really has built that muscle of how to execute against short form content. But I don't look at it like necessarily charging less. I look at it as like, could we perfect the operating model around, you know, that short form stuff, which in, you know, 2-3 day to do that. I think the short form stuff with like YouTube, we haven't yet seen a tremendous demand for that. I think we will. And what is to be determined is whether it's because the product doesn't exist, because we just don't have the picks and shovels set up exactly for what they need.
And the economic base for that content isn't there yet.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But I do think over time that will be there. I think that will be a tremendous opportunity for us. And I do think our experience in this business vertically integrating into something like that is super interesting. And I think we'd be really well positioned to do that. So I think that there is something there. It's probably a little early for us to try to sort of figure that out right now. There's other more low-hanging, early stage development stuff that we're probably interested in, but I do think that's a super interesting area, like long-term, very big opportunity.
Jeff, you joined Hudson Pacific about 18 months ago from Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about this opportunity that was compelling enough to have you leave Disney?
You know, I would say a bunch of different things. I felt like from a business perspective, you know, when you saw the proliferation of content, it wasn't hard to, you know, for anybody really to see that this was not a short-term dynamic. It was really a long-term trend. That
the world has changed.
The world has changed.
Of pay television has definitely changed.
Has changed. And I don't think we're going back. I felt like, you know, that was a long-term sort of opportunity. So I wasn't sort of betting on something that was this ephemeral 1 year sort of thing. I felt like the business in general was not mom and pop, but it was many independent owners, and it wasn't really yet institutionalized.
Of the independent studio soundstage lots, as you're saying.
Exactly. And a lot of even the production services business, it wasn't institutionalized. Nobody had figured out how to put it all together. And those who had tried, I felt put together a quilt. It wasn't a blanket. Mm. And I think a blanket is what's needed here. It's not just buying service, it's integrating.
But a woven thread.
It's a sensible, bundled thing that really solves a problem, you know, for the studio. So I saw that as an opportunity. Frankly, I think, you know, Victor Coleman, the CEO of Hudson, was a big reason, because I saw in him somebody who's just very entrepreneurial, and he saw this, and you know, I felt like he was going to be like a really good endorser and supporter of going out and doing this. He's entrepreneurial, he's willing to take risk, and it requires that. When Hudson brought on Blackstone, I think that gave us sort of the heft and the capital to go out and actually execute against a vision that really requires a lot of capital. So I kind of was thinking about all these different things, and I felt like, you know, I could get back to more of my entrepreneurial roots and really build something of scale. And it was kind of a unique opportunity. And so for all those reasons, I just got really excited about it. And I thought, it's time to really go for it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to variety.com and sign up for the free Strictly Business newsletter. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff. Grown Up Stuff.